Today is Palm Sunday, and it's also Passion Sunday. Scripture lessons are from Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29, and the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, verses 1 through 5, then 14 through 30. Today's message is titled, Into Jerusalem He Rode. Psalm 118, verses beginning at verse 19. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand and join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Here ends the psalm. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. Jumping down now to verse 14 of chapter 26. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? He replied, Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, The teacher says, My appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth. One of you will betray me. They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, Surely not I, Lord. Jesus replied, The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would have been better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, Surely not I, Rabbi. Jesus answered, Yes, it is you. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Here ends the gospel reading. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is to your glory and worship that you should be praised, and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther's prayer. Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that sets into motion events that we have heard often and read about often, and so oftentimes we simply slide by without depth of entering into the moment, to be there in the action, wrestling with the reality that these events actually did happen. These are not some Hollywood screenplay, though they have been portrayed on the big screen. And these big screen pictures through the years have shown that there is a real hunger for these things to be real. By God's good grace, may that hunger in you find the truth that truly sets you free. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the crucified and risen one. Nissan 10. Not Nissan the automobiles, Nissan 10. That is the date of this Sunday all those years ago. The 10th day of the month of Nissan. And this is a very, very special day, according to the law. On this day, the 10th day, the lamb is to be selected. Here is the truth of this. It is written in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household." Yes, the lamb is selected, the unblemished lamb. And truth be told, it really is meant to be the most perfect and the best lamb of your flock. The very best of your flock. That lamb is to be taken and kept safe and cared for till twilight of the 14th day. Exodus 12, now beginning of verse 5. "The animals you choose must be year-old males, without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs." So this Sunday, Nisan 10, a great commotion begins off in the distance, perhaps as far as Bethany. Bethany, just 2 miles from Jerusalem, as far as Bethany perhaps, where Jesus was staying the Sabbath, that Saturday, the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You know, great crowds would travel to see them, to see this Lazarus whom Jesus called back from the dead with that shriekingly loud voice calling, "Lazarus, come forth." great crowds would go see this curiosity of Lazarus. And Jesus is now with them in Bethany. This Sunday morning, Nisan 10, the noise of the crowd is rising from the valley. The voices could be heard crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" As these voices come, rising up from the valley below into the city of Jerusalem, the people of the city and all the myriads of the pilgrims began to wonder and ask, "What is happening? Who is this?" They could see down into the valley. They could see the commotion. But to the extent of all that was happening, it really had not come into sight. As that echoing cacophony continued to rise from the valley, they could begin to see the celebration of waving palms and see cloaks being placed on the ground before someone riding on a foal. The sight stirred the city all the more, for it is a well-known passage from the prophet of Zechariah of the Messiah. It is written in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The king is coming. The Messiah king, bringing righteousness and salvation. The joy and the shouting grows even before the crowd-led procession reaches the city gates. Excitement that the Messiah King was coming is beyond our modern sensibilities to begin to grasp the greatness of this rejoicing. And the electricity of the moment spreading throughout all of Jerusalem. Salvation is coming. Salvation is coming, for the one who saves is coming. For the Jewish child was schooled in the sacred scripture from the youngest of years and knew the sacred scriptures, much of which was memorized to a far greater extent than what we commit to memory these days, even as grown adults, let alone a child memorizing the sacred scriptures. The reality of the moment, the truth of Jesus riding on a foal of a donkey, it would not escape anyone's understanding. The King is coming. Salvation is coming. Rejoice. However, the physical reality of the moment, that physical reality of the moment, is what captured the hearts and minds of the people. Not the spiritual truth. The spiritual truth that was unfolding before their eyes. It's written in John chapter 12, verse 16. "At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things to him." This king, for this king will not act in the way they thought of, prayed for, and dreamed of for years. They were looking for that warrior king to free them from tyranny, not the one that would free them from sin, death, and the evil one. All the while, the Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees, they could only see a usurper taking their position, their power, away from them. So to conniving and plotting they went. Nisan 11, Nisan 12, Nisan 13. The days of Jesus in Jerusalem continued to pass, with many events written about in the sacred scriptures, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Nisan 14, it comes, and it's time to prepare for the Passover. Meanwhile, unnoticed to the others during these days, the other disciples, Judas somehow scurries off and has a secret meeting with the chief priests and agrees to 30 pieces of silver, 30 shekels, that would be the price of betrayal. This was foretold by the prophet Zechariah also. Nisan 14, day of the week is Thursday. On Nisan 14, the Passover must be prepared, and the place was already selected by the Lord God. As Jesus told his disciples, this direction, Matthew 26, verse 18, Jesus replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" Now, remember, Jerusalem is bursting at the seams with pilgrims. Josephus, a Jewish historian of that era, wrote that Jerusalem would swell with more than 2 million pilgrims who would come for the Passover. 2 million come for the Passover. The disciples' question was a natural one. Where can you find a room when Jerusalem is bursting at the seams? It would be a challenge to find a room in this overcrowded city filled for the celebration of the Passover. Go to a certain man and tell that man, "My time's come, and we're going to celebrate the Passover at your house." Nisan 14, evening was coming, and Jesus was reclining with his disciples in that man's house as the Passover feast begins. Then the most amazing moment came to be. A moment in the works by the living God for thousands of years. A moment foreshadowed in the days of captivity as slaves in Egypt. The day of deliverance, marked with blood of the Lamb as death passed over and Egypt was defeated, setting Israel free. As it's written in the sacred scriptures, Exodus 12, verse 14, "This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate as the festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." Commemorating this lasting ordinance is why they were there together in this room. Yet little did they know the real reason this lasting ordinance was given in the first place. The events of Exodus 12 and Egypt were foreshadows of the greater which was to come. The true nature of the Lamb shedding blood and death passing over will now be placed before them. Though they, the disciples, at that moment did not comprehend the significance. They did notice, however, Jesus did something different than all those other Passover feasts they had celebrated through all the years of their lives. Again, the Passover feast was known for a Jewish person from the earliest years of childhood. The tradition was ingrained in their minds and their hearts. This is the Passover feast. Startled, to say the least, is what happened as Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and Jesus spoke these new words. Words never heard before in this moment. Matthew 26, verse 26, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body.'" Take and eat. This is my body. These are new words. Take and eat. This is my body. And the bread is broken and passed around for all to eat. That wasn't all. Now this happens. Matthew chapter 26, beginning of verse 27. Then Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." My blood. That's what Jesus is saying. My blood. That's what is in this cup. And these words are spoken on Nisan 14. Spoken, my body broken, my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Do you remember what takes place on Nisan 14, the 14th day of the month? It's when the lamb is sacrificed and the placing of the blood on the doorpost and lintels is recalled so that death passes over. Now we have Jesus speaking of his own body being broken, his own blood being poured out for the forgiveness of sins. The focus is no longer on the events of Exodus 12 and the deliverance from Egypt. The focus is now on Jesus, the Son of God. For his body will be broken. His blood will be poured out for us. This new covenant of forgiveness. Take and eat my body. Drink my blood. The evening now transitions into Nisan 15. The day of deliverance from Egypt will soon become the day of deliverance from the bondage of sin, death, and the evil one. Prayers in Gethsemane give way to the traitor trailed by the temple guards. Greetings, Rabbi, spoken, followed by a kiss. The sign for the crowd to arrest the man. Before the Sanhedrin, even before the sun rises, before the Sanhedrin, and before the cock crows that third time, and Peter denies the Lord his third time. Before Pilate, and then before the soldiers that did their worst to him. Before escorting Jesus to the hill. A Jesus so weakened, the man from the crowd watching the procession of prisoners is pulled out and forced to carry the cross for Jesus. A short 6 hours since the sun rose, now Jesus is nailed to the cross and raised up above for all to see. To see him ebbing away towards death. Crucified, held to the cross with nails, and above his crown encircled head was those thorns around his head, was this truth proclaimed for all to see. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. A sign meant to mock and to shame, but really was the truth. Proclaim for all to see, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Broken, pouring out his blood, dying in the middle of the afternoon. Now it's the middle of the afternoon. He breathes his last, dead, his body broken, his blood poured out. Jesus knew what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. Jesus even said so. Matthew chapter 26, beginning of verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." He knew he would be betrayed. He knew he would be brutally beaten. He knew the cross was coming to be crucified. Yet, with all this, his love for the Father as the beloved begotten Son carried him forward on the foal of that donkey. His desire to do the will, to fulfill the will of the Father, it's evidenced in the garden. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 42. And he, that is Jesus, and Jesus went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, that's his disciples sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. "Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Jesus knew this, is why the Father sent the Son. It was foreshadowed in Exodus 12 and emphasized by the significance of the days of these events as Jesus rode into Jerusalem and was betrayed. Nisan 10, Jesus rides into Jerusalem the day the Passover lamb is selected for the sacrifice. Nisan 14, the time the lamb is sacrificed. And that's the night Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then also Jesus taking the cup, giving thanks, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." Spoken on that evening when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus betrayed and taken and crucified on Nisan 15. Jesus, the King, the Savior, bringing righteousness and salvation. This Jesus is the Lamb of God, sacrificed for our sins, crucified, body broken, blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. So as it's written, Psalm 118, these came to pass. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Psalm 118 continues with this truth. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Into Jerusalem he rode, as it is written in the sacred scripture, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Amen. Amen.